have the passage of Scripture before you, Luke, the 7th chapter, and I'm not going to read even a text verse. Just keep it open before you, if you will. And just a few thoughts. We don't have much time left. I thought it'd be better to vote before the noon hour than keep you members here until 12:30, so I'll appreciate that, too. Father, we love you today, and we pray that you will speak to us through your word. We pray that somehow each of us will have a sense of being ministered to, for we feel that by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is able to exactly meet the needs that we bring each time we get together. So speak to our hearts, we pray this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Quite often when we speak of becoming a Christian, we use the cliche or the phrase, receiving Christ, or inviting Christ into our lives. And this is scriptural. It's based on that verse of scripture in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Yet sometimes I think we have the picture of Jesus kind of begging to have just a little portion of our lives. And when we speak of receiving Jesus or inviting him in, we need to realize that we don't invite him in on our terms, but that we must invite him in on his terms. And in this little fragment of a story, this little one-act drama, this little vignette in the 7th chapter of Luke, we see about a man who invited Jesus in and actually had him in his home, but he was invited in less than a life-changing way. Simon the Pharisee was a careless host. Let's set the scene there in Simon the Pharisee's house. I don't know why, to be honest with you. I've read it over and over and over again. I don't know why Simon invited Jesus in. It might be that he honestly was wanting to know more. It might be that his heart was stirred way down deep, I don't know. But it seems to me as though he was critically trying to find fault with Jesus and to justify his own opinions. And even before he spoke, it says here, he said to himself, verse 39, is it, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him, what kind of woman she is. She's a sinner." So we don't know why, all the reasons Simon invited Jesus in. But then there's this woman who the scripture declares was a sinner woman. Some people say she was Mary Magdalene. I don't think there's any reason to believe she is at all. Two different people. And she doesn't speak either. She's there silently. But somehow it's evident that the mighty words of Jesus have gotten through to her. And in Matthew, when this same particular sermon is preached, it ends with those words of invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy." The same sermon that he's preached earlier in the 7th chapter is there in the 11th chapter of Matthew with that invitation for an ending. And it's very evident she's been listening to what Jesus has been saying. And even though she's a sinner, by reputation, everybody, it seems as though everybody but Jesus knows that she shouldn't really be there. Yet she has been dramatically changed on the inside, and so she's acting in what we might even say a bizarre way. Could it be we could call her acting like a Pentecostal or something, you know? My, terrible. She was weeping on his feet and wiping them with her hair. And Edersheim says in his description of this passage, he says, "There are times when we forget all else in one absorbing thought, when men's opinions are effaced by that one presence, when the 'come unto me' and the 'learn of me' and the 'I will give you rest' are the all in all to us." And so somehow Jesus has spoken to her need in such a way that she just forgets about everybody else. And she just expresses her love to Jesus in a way that other people say she shouldn't do that. And there's Jesus. He's the third person in the drama. And isn't it interesting? He came in when he was invited. into this home. And yet he's not overwhelmed by the fact that he's in a rich man's house. He's not overimpressed that Simon should deign to let him come in. I think that kind of piques Simon. Simon's, you know, I'm important. And it'd be nice for me to let Jesus in. And so he doesn't react the way Simon figures he ought to react. And then toward this woman, he isn't turned off by what we would call an unseemly show of emotion from a woman of the streets. We might shrink from her touch. Jesus didn't. Isn't that an interesting scene? Why was Simon a careless host? In what ways did Simon really fail? Basically, I would say he failed as a host because he didn't make Jesus at home. You know, that's the essence of being a good host, is making your guests feel as though they belong there. And I've been in homes, wealthy and poor, and I can't really put my hand on a common denominator, except that some people have the knack of really making you feel as though they're glad you're there. When it comes to Jesus, it takes a special quality. And until Jesus has the place of honor, he really doesn't just fit in anywhere. Now, Simon hadn't even shown Jesus the courtesy that he would have shown any highly esteemed guest, let alone the Son of God. It wasn't necessarily required that he wash people's feet or that he give him the kiss. And you've seen on TV those Eastern people, they still do it. They lean over and kiss each other on the cheek. Or, as the Jews loved to do, to anoint the head with oil. It wasn't absolutely required. But any time anybody of any importance came, if you could do it, you did it. And yet it was just as though Simon had said, well, if I can fit Jesus in, if he appeals to me, if what he says fits with what I think he ought to say, and if how he acts doesn't disturb the way I'm doing things too much, well, he can have a place. But he didn't really give Jesus the place of honor. Then I think, coming down even more basic, until Jesus is Savior, he really can't be teacher. Maybe I'll let that sink in. Until Jesus has dealt with the sin problem in our lives, he really hasn't got too much to say to us. There's 1,000 Eastern gurus running around giving little bits of wisdom here and there, and people get, oh my, isn't that wonderful? Well, Maharishi said that, sitting on his pillow with all the flowers around him. And Jesus just isn't much of a guru, at least until he becomes Savior. Christ's central theme was, I have come to save sinners. That's what he said to the woman. He said, her sins are forgiven. Simon was saying, well, she really needs that. That's just exactly the sermon she needs, but not me. And Simon didn't have a sense of sin, and so Jesus was worthless as a teacher to him. And the last thing I see in this little vignette is that we are not really qualified to make judgments on how God should operate his kingdom. If he were really a prophet, this is what he'd do. Simon was so sure Jesus couldn't be a prophet and let the sinner woman touch him. And I'm sure that we are sure about a lot of things too. But I want to say to you, we need to be open and trusting and let Jesus do with his church what he wants to do with us and with the people that come in. Jesus was exactly speaking to the needs that were there that day. This woman's love proved that faith had risen in her heart. Already her need for acceptance and her need for forgiveness, those mighty words had spoken. She didn't even realize that she needed the assurance. Jesus had never really spoken the words to her, but before she left, he heard her say, your faith has saved you. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Tremendous. And how Jesus met her Edersheim went on to say she had not yet reached order and clearness in her personal theology, but perhaps in the fullness of her feelings, she didn't know how great were her blessings, and she felt not that conscious rest which grows out of faith in the forgiveness which it obtained, but her need plus Christ's word plus her simple faith brought her salvation and joy and love outpoured, and then God gave her that tremendous assurance. Simon got what he needed that day too. At least he needed what he got, as far as he'd let the Lord speak to him. He got a rebuke. It was a gentle and yet a firm rebuke. And Jesus said, you know, as rich as you are, you couldn't give me what this poor woman has already given me. He said, and then he began to give him a little etiquette. I don't know if it was Emily Post or somebody, whatever they read back there, but he said, you know, I came in, and my feet were dusty, and you didn't wash them. And she, with her, quote, bizarre behavior, stood there weeping tears of joy on my feet and wiping them with her hair. She washed my feet. You wouldn't do it. And he said, you know, you never gave me the kiss of welcome and of being received. She said, there she was, kissing my feet. He said, you never anointed me with common oil, and she had somehow this rich perfume. It was all she had, and she anointed me with my feet with this perfume. She gave me what you couldn't give me. Simon needed a sense of sin. Simon needed a simple faith in God. He needed to know that beyond what he could scheme or plan or figure on the end of a pen, God knew his needs and would speak to his needs. That's where the little scene ends this morning. Jesus has a way of speaking to the exact needs that are here today. Somehow I have a feeling that there's only two ways really to react to Jesus, like Simon and try and fit him in, or like the woman and just let his words roll over us and give us what we need. God bless you.